100 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is the morning primetime newsmaker.
The newsmaker segment today is brought to you by MRSK Buildings, constructing all kinds of buildings from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. MRSK Buildings, where their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges, 620-340-7732.
If you've been thinking about adding a building to your property, let MRSK Buildings help you every step of the way. MRSK Buildings is your stud frame and post frame building headquarters. At MRSK Buildings, they construct all types of buildings from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. At MRSK Buildings, their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges at 340-7732 or visit 2604 West Highway 50 across from Bluestem.
KVOE, we are live and we are local and we are happy that you're with us on this Thursday morning, December 30th. 30 degrees on our way to 50 today, and we're very pleased to be joined on our primetime newsmaker on this Thursday morning by Jennifer Milburn, Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director. Jennifer, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
How are things going today?
Well, I anticipate it will be another busy day for public health.
You had a very busy day yesterday, the way it sounds.
Yes, absolutely. There's cases, you know, that are on the high side, but we've also had, you know, some changes that are happening with public health, and those two things combined keep us pretty busy at work.
Well, let's talk about the trends here COVID-wise, Jennifer. The numbers, not really good. What, 104 new cases here just this week?
Yeah, I don't think we're trending in the right direction. Unfortunately, we really don't have a true picture of what case numbers are right now. And that's due to the disruptions in testing, reporting, and the change in people's behavior associated with the holiday. We really won't have a true picture probably for another week or two, although it's pretty clear that we're seeing an increase in cases. If you go back to the week of November 21st, we diagnosed 65 new cases that week. The next week, which was November 28th, we diagnosed 174 new cases. That's almost a threefold increase, and we're still seeing that trend continue. The week of December 5th, we saw 172 new infections, and then the week of December 12th, it was kind of staggering. We saw 199 new infections diagnosed. So that's really not where we wanted to be as a community as we entered that Christmas holiday.
And I would assume that means that the underlying stats, test positivity, infection rates, and things along those lines are also trending up at this stage, along with just the raw data?
Yeah, absolutely. If we look at incident rates, we are definitely in that high, red category. And the same thing with our percent positivity. We have been running in the 20s. That's about been the average of 20%. Test positivity recently, much, much higher than where we would like to be. We'd like to be around 5% or below.
Jennifer, you mentioned you won't be able to get a real true picture. You can't get one as of right now as far as the true number of active cases that we have. Is part of that in part due to, I know that people that have been able to get at-home testing, the test at home, and then don't come to public health to get confirmation or anywhere else to get confirmation testing done? Is that part of how the numbers could be skewed?
Well, we do think that that is playing a little bit of a part in it. Previous weeks, we were seeing kind of a disturbing trend where our case counts or our incident rates were going up, and our test positivity was going up, but the amount of tests given was going down. And we don't like to see that as a community. We want, the amount of tests that we're doing in the community to go up as we're seeing all of that other stuff go up. Fortunately, that trend has changed. We are seeing the community as a whole have more tests being given. Those at-home tests are great tools, and we're glad that we have them in our COVID risk reduction toolbox. But it really is important for individuals to remember that as they do those at-home tests, there may be situations where they really need to have a confirmatory test done. So what should a person do with the result that they get from an at-home test? Well, if it's a positive result, you really should believe it. A positive test result indicates that you most likely have a current infection, and you need to isolate away from others and then inform your close contacts. But you should also call public health. We'll then provide you with instructions on how to isolate and help you determine who would be considered a close contact. We'll also encourage you to schedule a confirmatory test. And we know it may seem like an inconvenience to get tested again, but it really is important. Public health officials need proof of a lab-performed positive test for us to consider you exempt from quarantine or isolation in the future. Also, there are times when you get a negative at-home test that you really should do a confirmatory test, especially if you've been exposed so you know that you're a close contact to somebody that has COVID-19 and you have symptoms. If you get one of those at-home tests and it's negative and you're still experiencing those symptoms, those at-home tests can be less sensitive than our PCR test. So at that point in time, it would be really good for you to go in and get a confirmatory test just to make sure that the at-home test isn't providing a false negative.
I want to touch on the testing numbers you've been doing at Public Health. I know a lot of people have been in to get tested here. Now the confirmatory test that you provide, that goes to the states who are looking for those tests to be a 2-3 day turnaround then, as far as results?
As we start to see tests as a whole through our communities go up, we do start to see delays at our labs. So before, we were anticipating a 24 to around a 48-hour turnover for tests that were sent off to a reference lab like Cahill or the state lab. Now that probably is moving more to a 48-hour or 72-hour wait period. Also, the holiday kind of affects that. They run shorter hours. But one thing to know is that a confirmatory test, what we really want it to be is a nucleic acid amplification test. And one of those is a PCR test. There are PCR tests that are rapid. They can be done in that lab setting, whether it is at, you know, our facility or at a pharmacy or at the hospital. But they can be done rapid, so you can get results that same day. So not all of our PCR tests in our community are send-off. Some of them are rapid or point-of-care tests. So it's important that when you're seeking testing, that you ask what kind of test you're getting and to make sure that the test that you're going to receive fits what you need at that time.
Jennifer, before we jump into, you know, the health center's efforts here as part of President Biden's latest, you know, really the testing side of things with the free tests possibly coming in. The last time you brought this up, a month or two ago, we had a lot of social media traffic on this. Some people either not aware of that, you know, side of things, that if you get an at-home test that's positive, that you do need to go to get the confirmatory test. Others saying, essentially, heck no, I'm not going to bother with that. And another concern that came up was essentially saying that the only reason that medical facilities, the health center included, are saying that that confirmatory test is needed is because of the amount of federal money that comes in as a result of really the numbers coming in. Is that a legitimate concern from folks out there that basically that this is strictly, you know, a money side of things, or is this, can you say that this is indeed a health-related cautionary step that's being offered here by public health?
Absolutely, it's a health-related step. It really has nothing to do with the reimbursements or the money. And matter of fact, some of the testing that we do, we don't get any type of reimbursement for. It depends on the type of test that's completed. So with the majority of public health recommendations, they are really based on the health of our community, and they are based in science. We try to stay out of the political piece of it and sort of those economic things. If you have questions about that, that's something that we try to be very transparent about. So please ask. We would be willing to discuss that with you.
And we're talking with Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director Jennifer Milburn on our primetime newsmaker, KVOE. It is 729. 30 degrees, looking for 50 today. Jennifer, big news from the CDC here this week as far as quarantine times for testing positive with COVID. They dropped that to 5, and some people around here are wondering, why have we not said anything about maybe venturing down this road? I know I got an explanation for your office yesterday. You follow the KDHE guidelines, and until they move, you don't move, right?
Yeah, so, wow, it has been kind of big news related to COVID. One is just the massive increase in the amount of cases, and the other is the CDC news that was released this week. And you're right, you know, essentially they halved the isolation and quarantine periods for COVID-19. And what we know is that the most effective way to address COVID-19 is to really have state, local, and federal partners all working in coordination and really having those operations based on scientific guidance. And that's really what we strive to do. But it is important for people to understand that CDC issues guidance and recommendations, but they are not a regulatory agency. So ultimately, KDHE and local public health officials have the authority to issue isolation and quarantine requirements. So at this time, our state, or KDHE, is reviewing those new CDC guidance, and then the science, really, that's driving them, because that's what's important to know. And then we are sort of waiting for what KDHE is going to say. And we anticipate KDHE will be releasing information soon, probably today, if not early next week. And that's really what we are waiting on. We understand it's really frustrating for people that the guidance continues to change and that there can be periods like now when our federal partners, state partners, and local guidance are not all aligned. But what we really want people to know is that it's our job as public health officials to tell you what we know and when we know it. And in this case, we just don't really have the answer right now. We're still in a waiting period.
Understood. Jennifer Milburn, Emergency Preparedness Director with Lyon County Public Health, as we continue our latest COVID-19 response effort update. It was announced yesterday here about contact tracing that's changing up here to the state. You mentioned this a little bit earlier, but the way it sounds is this is really going to free up current staff in order to help with the increased demand for testing and possibly the increased demand for vaccinations, too.
Yes, the state really has been trying to transition into, I hate to use the word recovery as we are still absolutely in an emergency right now, but we do need to look at how do we continue to live with COVID in the future and how do we do normal operations with that. So how do we combine that into our normal operations that we have to do? So part of what the state did is they have been preparing to take on case investigations for COVID from the counties. So to do it centralized, and we have multiple options kind of there, whether to opt in, to partially opt in, or to not opt in at all. And as we think about, as a community, how do we address the needs of what is happening with COVID, we really felt like it was the time to opt in to having the state do our disease investigation and contact tracing for COVID-19. That really opens up that staff to be able to do other community needs. And if you think about where we were last year with testing, we had an entire National Guard team down here doing testing for us. So we had anywhere between 5 to 7 individuals running a testing line for our community. Well, we don't have that staff anymore. So we have to figure out how to meet that demand, which the testing demand is as high, if not higher, than it was last year. And we need to be able to do that using the staff that we have. So we have to kind of get very smart and tactical in how we utilize our resources.
Well, I know you were booked yesterday at Public Health for testing, so you have been busy on the testing front then, huh, Jennifer?
Yes, we have. Right now at this point in time, we can definitely say that the amount of testing we have in our community is not meeting the demand of our community members. So we have testing shortages right now. And we really hope we can rectify that. Testing is such an important part of stopping the spread of COVID-19. We need to be able to identify those infections so that they can isolate and not spread. And then we can identify those close contacts so that they know potentially that they can go on to develop infection. And really the only way we can do that is to have adequate testing available in our community.
Jennifer, before we let you go, question comes up here about maybe your flu traffic, and especially after attending the hospital board meeting yesterday, and you know it seems like all indications are that the vaccine that was developed isn't hitting the flu that is being seen in other parts of the world here. Are we seeing any flu traffic yet, and how concerned are you now for kind of the flu season roaring to life here soon?
Yeah, so there are some indications that we're starting to see flu cases in our community. That is definitely not at high levels yet. I was looking at some of those trends yesterday, and as a state, we definitely are seeing more people seeking care due to flu-like illnesses. That trend is going up. The message at this point in time is we need to try to stop infections regardless of whether they are the common cold, flu, or COVID-19. And we do that just based on those infection control protocols that you guys all know. And the most important one is if you're sick, stay home. Don't share that gift with somebody else. And then if you have symptoms that have developed, it is really important to figure out what you actually have. So go in and get that testing, whether it is flu, strep, or COVID. Identify what kind of infection that you have, and then make sure that you're doing whole body wellness. That becomes really important, too. And seek treatment if you are at all experiencing symptoms that are into that dangerous side, like shortness of breath or anything to do with your heart. We really want you to seek care from a provider.
If I could switch back to COVID just for one more last question here, Jennifer. I know across the country, we've been seeing a large uptick in positive tests in the 5 to 11-year-old demographic. I know we didn't touch specifically on demographics here, Jennifer, for the positive tests you've been seeing, but is that a concern of yours to see the high number of cases that are out there now for the youngsters?
Yes, absolutely it is. And we are seeing that in our community as well, as we are seeing a lot more cases in that, 5 to 11-year-old, even into some of our teenagers, than what we were in the first waves of this pandemic. And we just have such a great tool to help that. The number one way to prevent those infections is to get vaccinated. So, and one of the things really is, I know breakthrough cases get a lot of traction, but the research really is showing that the vaccines are highly effective, and those individuals that receive breakthrough cases, their cases are mild, where in unvaccinated people, they are more likely to become severely ill or require hospitalization. And really, the data shows that you are 10 times or more likely to become really sick or die from COVID-19 if you are unvaccinated.
Good information as always, Jennifer. We appreciate all that you do. Thanks to you and your team. It has been a busy last couple of years, and unfortunately, we're not trending in the right direction as of now. But hopefully, we will see some positiveness, not in test results,
right,
but in news concerning COVID in 2022. So thanks again, Jennifer, and Happy New Year to you.
Healthy New Year.
Yeah, thank you, and Happy New Year to you as well.
Have a great day, Jennifer.
Thank you.
That is Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director Jennifer Milburn on our primetime Newsmaker this morning, Chuck.
All right, and if you'd like to be part of the Newsmaker slot right now, the only available date that we have is Wednesday for next week, the 5th, and starting to get some dates filled for the week of the 10th as well. So call us at 620-342-1400.